Welcome to another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. As a former PRCA cowboy, Wes excelled in the rodeo arena and is now pursuing his calling to share God's word that has literally transformed his life. As someone who has a heart to passionately pursue God in his daily life, his desire is to help others do so as well. The focus of his ministry is to bring people closer to God by living in and through the truths of God's Word. May you be blessed by the message from the Word of God that Wes has to share with you today.
Howdy, friends. This is Wes Ward once again of Wild West Ministries. Boy, I have a mighty word today from the Lord I want to share with you. A couple weeks ago, I was speaking at a rodeo. And before I went to that rodeo, I didn't really know what I was going to speak on. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, I'm driving down the road. You know, I pray a lot, but I talk to God a lot. I said, God, what do you want me to speak on at this rodeo? The Lord told me, he said, speak on those F words. So that's what I'm going to teach on today, friends. Faith and fear. Faith and fear. Faith moves God and fear moves Satan. I'm going to say it again. Faith is what moves God and fear is what moves Satan. Spirit of the Almighty Living God, rule and reign through this message. Anoint my tongue, my Lord. Give me the words may flow out of me, your words, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, for a renewing of our spirit and soul. Lord God, we ask for rhema, knowledge, more understanding, things to be revealed, revelation. Lord God, let this message bring only glory to you. And Father God, once again, anoint me that it will be you speaking through me, that this will bring glory only to you, Father God. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, the name of our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Let's look at in the book of Ephesians. I want to show you something here in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be looking at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. Well, as soon as I get to it here. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, and you, he made alive. It's talking about Jesus right there. Who were dead in trespassing sins. See, Romans 3:23 says, for we have all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Verse 2 goes on to say, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. That'd be Satan. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That Satan spirit has worked in me for many, many years because I was disobedient to the Word of God. So the Bible tells us here in Ephesians 2 that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That means he rules and reigns here. Let me explain this. There's two different kingdoms on this world. The kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of the world operates on buying and selling, having money. The kingdom of God operates on sowing and reaping. Now, God created the earth. The creation is His. But the system here on the earth is ruled by the enemy, Satan. It says right here that he is the prince of the power of the air. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That'd be God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. See, we got to believe that God does exist and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Friends, are we really seeking God with everything inside us? Diligently seek him. I think we need to ask ourselves that question. I know there's a lot of people out there that love the Lord. But are we really seeking the Lord and giving him all of us? Or is there areas in our life that we're holding back and not allowing the Lord to work within us? Are we really diligently seeking God? That's a question. So what I'm going to teach on here today, once again, is those F words, faith and fear. Faith and fear. I'm going to give you a little formula. We're going to look at some more scriptures. I'm going to show you a story in the Bible of how Satan was able to ransack this man's life through getting in the realm of fear. Then I'm going to tell you a story a little bit later on about a little boy whose faith never wavered. And we're going to tie it all in together thanks to the help of the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. I think this is going to be a very, very powerful message somebody out there needs to hear. So what is faith? Remember, faith is what moves God. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, friends, if you have to be a believer in things that are actually seen, you're not operating in faith. Because the scriptures tell us right here, faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, we got to have hope in the Lord. That is faith. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the question is, how do we get faith? Or how do we increase our faith? I had a man walked up to me one time whenever I was doing a revival, and he said, I want you to pray for me that I can have more faith. Nowhere in the Bible have I found that you can pray for a person to increase their faith. I remember a dear friend of mine one time, a very wise man by the name of Leon Adams. I was going through some really hard times in my life. Leon, he stopped me one morning, and he said, I want to talk to you about something, but let me choose the right words because I don't want to offend you. He said, Wes, you have somehow got to figure out how to allow the Lord to start working for you. That, my friends, at that point in my life was a big mystery to me because I had no confidence in God working in my life whatsoever. No confidence at all. And I started thinking, I have got to build my confidence in the Lord. So as I started reading through the Bible, this word faith just kept jumping out at me, jumping out at me, jumping out at me, jumping out at me. So I kind of waited out one day. I put this word confidence in one hand, and I put faith, the word faith, in the other hand. And I got to looking at both of these words. They basically have the same meaning. They balance each other out. So in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you look at the context, what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in the book of Romans, he's talking about the preached word. We got to hear the preached word. So whenever I read my Bible, that's the reason I read out loud to myself, so I can hear it. That's the reason I love to hear the word preached. I'm hearing the word. That's the reason whenever I'm driving in my truck going down the road, that's all I listen to anymore is teaching CDs from my pastor and my pastor's pastor. I'm consuming myself with hearing the word preached. Because I'm going to be honest with you, my faith can be real strong one day. And the next day my faith be not near as strong. So that's the reason we got to keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. We got to be consumed with the word of God. Because faith is what it takes with the Lord. See, that's what Satan does. He comes as an angel of light, and he comes to put doubt in our minds. Basically, to steal our faith. So once again, how do you increase your faith? How do you build faith in the Lord? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I wish Paul would have wrote, hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Because we got to hear it. We got to be consumed by it. Romans 1 verse 17 says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's read it again. Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's take a look at this example of a man allowing fear to enter him, and that allowed Satan to come in and ransack his life. I want to tell you a little story right quick about myself. I was married a few years ago, my second marriage, and we had bought a piece of property and had built a beautiful home. It was a dream place to me. But I had this fear inside of me that like I was going to die, or like that I was just, something was going to happen that I wasn't going to be able to enjoy it. I laid the stone on this house. And there was a friend of mine helping me lay stone one day. And I know he was just kidding with me. But he started laughing. He said, boy, Wes, we sure are building a nice house for somebody. And boy, this fear had already entered me because I wasn't walking in faith. And I'm going to explain to you a little bit later on that I wasn't walking in love either. As we look at the scriptures on down in this message about love and faith. But anyway, what I feared happened to me. I lost, my marriage failed and the house was sold, and it still breaks my heart. Because I look back, and I've come so far from that period in my life. I look back and I see all the mistakes that I made, thinking that I had all of God that I needed, and I was so lost. But praise God that that house and that piece of property were earthly things, and praise God, I'm on the right track now, and He is Jesus is a mighty healer and a restorer and a deliverer. And I had a lot of problems back then, but praise God that I'm getting better each and every day. But I want to show you this in the book of Job. If you study the book of Job, see, the book of Job is the very first book that I read in my Bible whenever my life just fell apart, and everything that I'd worked hard for all my life up to that point was basically gone. And I knew Job went through something, and I wanted to read it for myself. So the book of Job was actually the very first book in the Bible that I ever read, because I had a very heavy heart and going through a lot of hard times during that period. So I want to know what this man Job went through. So God and Satan, let me back up, are talking in the first part of Job. And Job's a righteous man and everything, and he's a very wealthy man. He had a lot of possessions. But you can read the first first couple of chapters there and see what I'm talking about when God and Job are talking. But see, Job makes a comment here in Job 3:25. He says, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I have dreaded has happened to me." See, he's in fear right there. By Job getting into fear, he allowed Satan to come in and ransack his life. I mean, he lost everything. And he was a very wealthy man, had a big family. But as we read in the book of Job, see, Job's got his buddies. And they're coming through to him throughout the whole deal. And they're trying to point out Job's faults. And trying to say that he's been doing wrong and the reason this happened. But actually, Job got into fear and allowed this to happen in his life. But if you study chapter 38, and we want to read a little bit of this here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I believe we will. We'll take a look at it. Job 38, God visits Job in a whirlwind. And he starts questioning Job. Verse 2 says, you know, God's talking to Job here. Who is this who darkens counsel by words with knowledge? God says to Job in verse 3, he says, "Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me." Verse 4 goes on to say, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely, Job, you know. Or who stretched the line upon line?" Verse 6 says, "To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut in the sea with its doors? When it burst forth and issued from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness and swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set the bars and doors, when I said, 'This far you may come, but no further.'" And here, your proud waves must stop. So this goes on for chapter 38, 39, 40, and 41. God is quizzing Job. Where were you? Where were you? Well, in verse 42, Job answers him. And our chapter 42, let me back up. Verse 3, chapter 40, Job 42, verse 3. It says, "You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge?" Job says, "Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know." See, Job's admitting to God here, "Hey, I said things that I didn't know nothing about. I said things that I shouldn't have said." Job's eyes were opened up. Things were revealed after God counsels Job through this whirlwind. But as we read here in Job 42, verse 7 through 10. "And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, 'My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, and as my servant Job has.'" Verse 8 says, Now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourself a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, and my servant Job has." So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamanite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. For the Lord had accepted Job. I hope I got those names close, because those are pretty tough names for an old country cowboy like me. But in verse 10 it says, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So he was a very wealthy man. He got back twice as much what he had. See what happened here? Once again, Job got in fear. That allowed Satan to come in and ransack his life. But in the chapter 42 here, God gets Job back in faith. All right, by praying for his friends. And whenever Job got back in faith, God restored him twice what he had. And that is a very wonderful example of fear and faith, how we allow, we either got God working in us or Satan's working in us. Once again, faith moves God. Fear moves Satan. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Man, that is powerful. That scripture right there, you can't say it. I mean, it explains it all. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Oh, this is good here, friends. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So what that's telling us, friends, if you're living in life and you live in fear of things, then you are not in perfect love, because love casts out fear. Fear involves torment. So you're not in faith either. So keep that in mind. Once again, if you're in fear, your faith is being short-circuited, and you're allowing Satan to come in and ransack your life. You know, thank you, Holy Spirit, I will. You know, my pastor, he spoke a very powerful series, Pastor Darrell Baker, here at Christian Faith Fellowship, and I highly recommend this teaching. He did one back earlier this year. It's called Right Thinking, Right Believing, Right Speaking Produces Right Results. Once again, right thinking, right believing, right speaking produces right results. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Friends, I realized that I had to do a lot of changing in my life. And it was just started out with way, it started out, I had to get in faith. Then once I started getting in faith, then all these other areas of my life started to change. Because then I started walking in love and walking in forgiveness. And, you know, it's a process of just cleaning me up from the inside, because, man, I had a lot of stuff going on, a lot of issues that needed to be addressed. And I was living in fear. I realized Satan was controlling my life, because I lived in a lot of fear of things. And he still tries to tempt me with his fear and everything. And I'm able to now to recognize it, and I just rebuke it right off. Get behind me in the name of Jesus, Satan. I'm not receiving that thought. See, look, most of the thoughts that come through your mind anyway ain't yours anyway. Or what you call them fiery darts being shot by him. But see, our mouth is the birthing place. See, God spoke things into existence. We are made in the image and the likeness of God. So remember that. What you say has a big, big influence on your results. Once again, right thinking, right believing, right speaking gets right results. I highly recommend that teaching. You can contact Christian Faith Fellowship, Pastor Darrell Baker, and That teaching, I really got a lot of revelation from it. It helped me a lot. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love is the greatest gift. The Apostle Paul is saying here, I can have all these gifts from God, but if I don't have this one gift called love, because see, we find love as being the first fruit of the Spirit, because love is of God. Remember, right here in 1 John 4:18, true love cast out fear. True love cast out fear. So 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now abide in faith. Abide in faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Once again, now abide in faith, hope, love. But love being the greatest of all. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, remembering without ceasing your work, faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Spirit of our God and Father. Man, that is powerful. Remembering without ceasing your work, faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Once again, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Galatians 2:20, man, I love this. This is good. If you ain't heard anything I said all day, listen to this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Ooh, man, that's good. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, that is powerful. See, faith is what it takes with the Lord. We got to have faith. Friends, I want to tell you a faith story right quick about a young man. We can learn a lot from this. You know, I got a phone call from this little boy's mama. He's only 6 years old. When all this started and everything, he was only 5 years old. But this story, there's a lot of material here in this story. And his mama called me the other day and said, hey, Wes, you know, I've known his mom for many years. And she said, you would appreciate this story. And when she told me this story, I said, well, whenever it all comes to, It hadn't all materialized yet. And I said, when it does, send me a picture. And a couple days later, I got a picture of this little boy, 6 years old. We're going to call, his name is Dalton. And his American bulldog named Max. Whenever I got this picture of this little boy and his dog being reunited, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, now it's time to go record. Because I knew at some point I would record this message. And I just love it how God puts everything together. And we can learn a lot from this little boy's story just by having childlike faith. Childlike faith. And I want to share this little boy's story with you. You know, Dalton was 5 years old when he got Max. Max was an American bulldog. I don't know a whole lot about that breed, but they got him at 8 weeks old. And they both of them now are a year older and everything. Max, the bulldog, and Dalton, the little boy, he's six now. But anyway, what I've been told about this breed of dog, the American bulldog, that they're big, pretty good sized dog. And they look kind of mean, but I understand that they're just as docile and just big, you know, I mean, would lick you to death. But, you know, their looks kind of deceiving, but they're just, I understand that they're great pets and everything. But anyway, Dalton and his dog Max and his mother and sister, they lived in a small town in East Texas called Lone Oak, Texas. And they lived out in the country. Mom being a single parent, but they had some neighbors that moved in from another town, and I understand that you could see their house, you could see each other's house from, you know, it was like a 2-acre lot between them. So they lived pretty close together. Well, this other family had three boys. Had a little boy that was the same age as Dalton, and had two older brothers that was like 10, 11 years old. And they had like a barnyard. You know, they had a lot of animals and stuff. They had two pit bulldogs that they've kept on big log chains. Now, remember, Max is an American bulldog, but they've got two pit bulldogs, and they had, you know, goats and chickens and everything. And early one morning, on a Saturday morning at 6:30 in the morning, mom of the mother of Dalton gets a knock on the door. She's thinking, Lord, who could this be at 6:30 in the morning? Well, it was a neighbor's wife down there, and she was saying, was real aggressive with her. What she was saying, she said, your dog, I seen your dog with one of my chickens in his mouth. And you need to get him on the chain or whatever, you know, and just really went off on her. And this friend of mine was saying, well, first of all, I don't believe your story because Max is not that... He's not that aggressive. He can't, you know, he's a big dog. He can't move that fast to catch a grown chicken. She said, now, he may be able to catch one if the animal is wounded or if it was already dead, you know. She said, I'm just not believing your story because he can't even get in your pen and everything. But anyway, Satan was definitely at work here. And there was a confrontation early one Saturday morning. Well, one month later, Max goes missing. They come in one night and he was gone. So the next morning, March the 9th of this year, the little boy Dalton, he's out on the country road and he's looking everywhere for Max and calling to him. Can't find no Max nowhere. Now the neighbor's little boy, who's the same age, about the same age as Dalton, you know, we're only talking about little boys that are 5 years old. He tells Dalton that his mom and older brothers loaded Max up and took him far away to the ocean. And so every day, his mom says every day, little Dalton would pray, Lord, if you can send Max home, please send Max home. This was this little boy's prayer every day. Lord, if you can send Max home, would you please send Max home? Well, Dalton and his mother and sister, they moved from Lone Oak, Texas. I asked his mom why they moved, and she said, I just wanted to get our children in a bigger school district and give them a little better chance in life than I did. And so they moved about 60 miles away to a town called Wiley, Texas. And like I say, every day this little boy, he's just praying and praying, Lord, if you can send Max home, please send him home. So the mother had been trying to prepare Dalton that he may not ever see Max again. And the little boy told his mother, he said, Mom, it's okay. We can get another dog. But I know Jesus is going to send Max home. Well, anyway, before all this, let me back up and tell you this, that Dalton's mother called the police. They've got a confession from the little boy that his mother hauled the dog away. Well, whenever the neighbors saw the police coming down the road, the father, he jumps in his vehicle and he drives off because he's, I understand, an illegal alien in this country. But anyway, they interviewed Dalton's mother, and they said that the police said that there was nothing that they could do unless they had a confession from the mother. Well, the police wanted to get a visit with the mother, and they knocked on the door, never could get anybody to come to the door. So like I say, the family moved 60 miles away and to a town called Wiley, Texas. But one night, or one morning, Dalton gets up, little six-year-old boy, and he says, "Mom, we have to move back to our old house." She said, "Why is that, Dalton?" He said, "Well, last night I had a dream, and Max is trying to come home." She said, "I had a dream that I was walking down that road and I whistled and Max come running to me." He said, "Mama, he's trying to come home." So his mother gets online and Googled American Bulldogs near Lone Oak, Texas. There was a picture. There was a no-kill shelter that come up in Quinlan, Texas. And one of the first pictures they looked at of dogs in this shelter. She said, "Dalton, come here. I think this looks kind of like Max." The little boy come running in there. Now remember, he's only 6 years old. She said, "Does this look like Max?" He said, "Mama, that's Max. I know it's Max." So anyway, they contacted the shelter and said, "I think you may have my dog." And it took a week through the process for the little dog and Dalton to be reunited. But the story from the shelter is that there was a man who lived near Lake Tawakoni, right on the lake. He called this shelter and said, "There is a pit bull that's been hanging around my house the last couple days. If y'all don't come get this dog, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to shoot him." You see, Lake Tawakoni was the ocean to the little boy. The dog had been hanging around the lake and everything. But anyway, so... the mother shares this story about Dalton and his dog Max, how they got reunited on Facebook. And I tell you, friends, Facebook is a wonderful thing if it's used in the right way. I have been under some major attacks on Facebook, but praise God, this is a wonderful story. Because Dalton's mother had a classmate that didn't believe in God. I don't want to say he's an atheist because I don't really know the meaning of that word, but I'm going to say that he was a non-believer. He did not believe in God. He's not been a believer in God for over 30 years. But he called Dalton's mother after he saw this story on Facebook, and he said, "There's got to be a God. There's got to be. To reunite this boy and his dog." His mom, they talked several times over the phone. She witnessed to him. His mom prayed with him and helped lead him to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. But there's a lot that we can learn from this story right here. You see, Dalton's mother taught this little boy how to pray. See, it's up to us as parents to teach our children about our Creator, about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's up to us to raise our children in a godly manner. This mother taught this little boy how to pray. This little boy's faith never wavered. He kept believing that Max was coming home. And this little boy kept speaking in line with the Word of God. He don't know the Word. He's just a boy. But he knows God. Friends, we can learn so much through this child. All we got to do is have childlike faith. Childlike faith. 7 months later, Dalton and Max were reunited. They knew each other from right off the bat. Seven is holy to the Lord, friends. His mother called me and gave me this story. This story is going to change somebody's life. I don't know who it is. God knows. Somebody out there needs to hear this, because somebody is going through some issues with their faith. They're being tormented, not knowing whether there's a God or not. But this story, this message, will give somebody revelation. Rhema, we call it. Things will be revealed, open up, understanding. You know, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." For we walk by faith, not by sight. Let's look at Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 32. And I'm going to close with this scripture. This is powerful, friends. This is from our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Once again, Luke 12, verse 32. Jesus says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, the Lord's laid it out for us, but we have to walk in faith. And when you're in fear, your faith is being short-circuited, and the devil is getting you out of faith. Friends, I hope you got something out of this message called the F words. Faith and fear. Faith moves God. Fear moves Satan. God bless you, and we hope to see you next time. Thank you. Once again, I'm Wes Ward. May the good Lord guide and direct your steps. Let us all walk in faith. Thank you.
This has been another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. Our prayer for you is that you've been helped through the Word of God that we were able to share with you today. The heart of Wild West Ministries is to bring people closer to God through His living Word. If you would like to contact Wes to find out more about his ministry, to receive more of his teachings, or if you're interested in having him as a guest speaker, you can contact him by phone at 903-249-1250. That's 903-249-1250. Or at 580-927-3007. That's 580-927-3007. Or you can email Wes at 3wward@gmail.com. That's 3wward@gmail.com. God bless you.